Now let's get to where we are tonight in these Sunday night services. And let me just say, in the introductory part of it, that all of the comments that you made about that lesson does not need to come in this direction. It needs to go in the direction of the Psalms. You know the power of that lesson? The power of that lesson had very little to do with the presentation of the lesson. It had to do with getting the Word of God and encouraging us to write the Word of God on our hearts. And that's really what it was all about. And that's what Soldiers of Christ has been about. And I think the illustration and the things that happen in this very auditorium this morning is indicative of the fact that that's the kind of thing that can happen. And as you teach the Bible to your children, you may not recognize that what you're doing, you're giving them the ability by the memorization of the Bible then to write it on their hearts, and that's really what that's all about. And so we want to continue that tonight as we finish the book of Job. Spent 2 weeks on the book of Job, and we've got 150 Psalms to cover, as well as Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and 31 chapters of Proverbs. So our work is really cut out for us. And so let's get to the book of Psalms. Well, if I were to ask you who's the author of most of the Psalms, could you answer that? And if you've got your field manual, if you've got that field manual that's there, we'll not be going necessarily in order of of just the one card. That's why you have all three of the cards in your field manuals. And by the way, if you don't have these cards, then please let us know, and we'll be sure to get these cards out to you. But, we have all three of the cards, and what we're trying to do in these lessons is to look at them. The author of the book of Psalms, you know that, I'm sure. And the answer is David. I think you would know that. What's the book of Psalms all about? The book of Psalms contains what? And come up perhaps with the answer that's on the card. But can you in your own mind come up with what the book of Psalms it contains? It contains the songs and the poems of the Jews. That's why it's called the poetical book. And so here we are with 150 different psalms, and it's all written in poetical form. Even the psalms of history are poetical in their very nature. And so as you think about the book of Psalms, understand that what we have is coming out of the heart of Israel, and most of them coming out of the heart of David, are the very songs that reflect the spiritual heart of godly people. And the whole thing we're trying to do, and that was the design of that lesson this morning, is to take those words and challenge us to write these words on our hearts. And so I hope as you come to worship next Sunday that you'll be thinking about some of those things we talked about in that lesson this morning. Now here's one of the questions that's from the King card, and it's more complex, and that's why we have that entry level of the Prophet card, and then the Priest card, and then the King card. And this is to challenge those who've been in the church for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Don't you sit there and rest on past laurels. If you want your brain to die, then stop using it. And I challenge those of you who are older to use this as a process of keeping your brain active and to stretch it. And even if you know the answer, well, I know all the answers on the Prophet card, then I challenge you to just go to the next level. And there are all different kinds of psalms that are there. And this is on the King card. There are psalms of praise and of thanksgiving. There are psalms of lamentation. There's history. There are psalms of repentance. There's prophecy psalms, and there are psalms of petition. And so all we're saying is that when you read the book of Psalms, don't expect every one of them to be the same, because some of them just look back and review the history of the nation, but it's in poetical form. And and we have that even in America, in some of the folklore that we have and that type of thing. But let me ask you this. How many times would you reckon the book of Psalms is mentioned in the New Testament? That's an interesting question. And what it tells us, and don't put the answer up yet, what it tells us is that if it's mentioned this many times in the New Testament, then there's some real great advantage from us getting over there and looking in the book of Psalms. And we've tried in this study to find many of the Psalms that are mentioned in the New Testament to make them a part of the study. Some of them we just decided not to put them in because we'll come to those when we study the New Testament books. And you'll find that if you'll read through the book of Psalms, those that you readily recognize. But more than 100 times, the book of Psalms is mentioned, referenced in the New Testament. That's an amazing thing when you think there are 27 books of the New Testament. And more than 100 times, the Holy Spirit saw fit to go back and pick up this golden nugget from the Old Testament and bring that precious nugget of truth over and put it in the gold mine of our spirituality. And that's really the nature of it. And that highlights, as far as I'm concerned, the importance of what we're trying to do on these Sunday nights. For the next several weeks, we'll be inside the book of... And some of our Sunday morning services, like the one this morning, it'll be of different natures, but some of our Sunday morning services will also be looking at the book of Psalms. What we're trying to do, we're trying to do this, and get this in your head. The book of Psalms expresses the words of David, and out of the abundance of a man's heart, the mouth speaks. And so whenever we read the words of the psalm, we're reading the words of David, and they're a reflection of the heart of David. Well, what kind of heart did David have? He's a man after God's own heart. So that's why it's so important for us to take these words that are in the Psalms and write them on our souls because they will guide us in our lives. Here's an interesting question, and that is the phrase that divides the five major groups of Psalms. Look, grab your Bible and look at Psalm 72:18. That's one of the times that you'll find it. And these, by the way, are divided out in this. And that is, blessed be the Lord, Psalm 72:18. Blessed be the Lord God of the God of Israel. And so the Jews looked at all of the Psalms, and as they looked at all of the Psalms, the answer was, blessed be the Lord. And as the Psalms were written and collected, they were gathered into five different categories. And the reason we look at this particular one, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. You may not be aware that this statement is in the book of Psalms, but here is the statement in verse 20, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And so what we have here is an affirmation of the fact that whenever the Jews looked at this, they divided the Psalms and they were divided by this expression, blessed be the Lord. Look back, if you have your Bibles, look back in chapter 41 and verse 13. Psalm 41 and verse 13, you'll find exactly that same phrase when it says in verse 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And so what you have here is the five books of Psalms. If you'd understand that, divided out by this expression, blessed be the Lord. Now in the book of Psalms, as you read the book of Psalms, you'll run across this word again and again, Selah. Selah. What does that mean? And as much as to anybody on this earth, I owe Bill Hatcher, who preached here so many years ago, I owe a tremendous debt for him helping me to understand this. Evidently, Selah is a musical term. Just like in our song books, we have instructions in relationship to the way this song ought to be sung slowly or fast or otherwise. And so here is a word that the best that anybody can come up with is, it is a word that is instructions to those who are the singers of the Psalms to pause. Do you know what happens when you pause? That amazing? You just did it. What are you going to say next? What's this all about? And Bill Hatcher said, Every time you read the word Selah, you need to understand that God is saying, take time to stop and think about what I just said. And so as you read the book of Psalms, that'd be an important thing to remember. What about the word hallelujah? You know how few times the word hallelujah is found in the Old Testament? The word hallelujah is rarely found, if at all, is found in the Old Testament. We use it all of the time. Now then, what you do find in the Old Testament is the expression praise the Lord. And so, because in our singing, we sing so much about praise the Lord, we sing the word hallelujah so much, in so many of the songs that we sing, it's bless the Lord or praise the Lord is that. Now, just as a matter of interest, if I were to ask you, what is the shortest psalm? Do you know the answer to that? The shortest psalm. It's Psalm 117. Isn't that remarkable? That the Lord decided how long... You see, chapter divisions were made by men and the rest of the Bible. But the psalms are divided up by God. And so God Himself saw fit to put a 2-verse psalm. Wonder if that might be a good passage for me sometimes when I really don't have a whole lot of time, but I really want to think about the Word of God, and I've got 5 or 10 minutes to just sit down and read the shortest psalm. Why is it there? Why did God put this psalm in the Bible? Well, if you ask the shortest psalm, you know the longest one, do you not? Do you know the location of the longest psalm? It's Psalm 119, just two psalms later. You know how many verses there are in it? Well, it's good on the screen. You're reading well, right? I hope you got it right. 176 times the Lord speaks in this psalm. And in each of the verses of the psalm, which, by the way, men have put in the verses, but in almost every verse in Psalms 119, you'll find reference to the Bible. I marvel in this day and age in which people mock the fact that we want to look at the Bible. In fact, the Time magazine once described the Church of Christ many years ago as the most Bible-bound church in America. They meant it mocking. I took it as a compliment. I took it as a great, great compliment. Do you know why we look at the Word of God? Because here is the man after God's own heart who gives us insight into the importance of the Word of God. For example, you have your Bibles open. Look in Psalm 119, verse 1. Do you see in verse 1 the reference to the Word of God? Oh, yes. It's the law of God. What about verse 2? Where's the Bible mentioned in verse 2? Oh, it's called the testimonies. What about verse 3? They walk in His ways. Verse 4, You have commanded us to keep Your precepts. Verse 5, Your statutes. Verse 6, Your commandments. Verse 7, Your righteous judgments. Verse 8, Your statutes. And then all of a sudden there's a division in this psalm. And your Bible may have the Hebrew letter or the Hebrew name for... You see the word Beth in the between verse 8 and verse 9? Because this psalm was written and every one of the first 8 verses in the Hebrew language start with the Hebrew letter A, Aleph. And so your Bible may have, right? Before you ever get to verse 1, you may have the word Aleph. And you may even there have the picture of the Hebrew olive that is there. The very letter itself looks like chicken scratchings if you're from Alabama. And so you've got olive there. And all 8 of those verses start with the letter A. And when you get to verse 9, where you may have before verse 9 the word Beth and a description of the word Beth, verse 9 through verse 16, every one of those verses starts with the letter Beth. And so the Lord gave this 22 divisions and did it alphabetically. And you can go through all of Psalm 119, all of the verses of Psalm 119, and God has made the divisions. And so instead of just looking at this and thinking about it, well, it's just a whole bunch of verses thrown. No, God Himself ordered it in that respect. Cannot spend more time in that than I should. Don't you think it would be good if you knew the location of that psalm that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork"? Don't you think it would be good to know that verse that says there's no language, there's no speech or language, no tongue on this earth where the voice of God is not heard by looking at the creation of God? That's an important verse to know. And that's why in the soldiers of Christ we have that. The psalm that talks about the heavens declare the glory of God is Psalms 19. I believe you need to learn where that's found. We'll not be able to look at all 150 Psalms. That's not what it's all about. But what we tried to do in the designing of all of this is to find the Psalms that are most important. And we put the easier Psalms, those more readily, easier to learn. We put those in the prophet card and then the priest card and then the king cards. They're all on different levels. But in this study tonight, we want to look at all of them. All of the cards locating the chapters. What if I tell you the crucifixion psalm? You remember the prophecies about the fact, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." If I tell you there is that psalm that says, "Not a bone in his body will be broken," do you think it'd be good to know where that is? Well, it's right before "The Lord is my shepherd" psalm. Now, if you know where "The Lord is my shepherd" psalm is, then you know where the crucifixion psalm is. "Sometimes when I eat the Lord's supper, as I meditate on His body and on His blood, I'll turn to Psalms 22, the crucifixion psalm." Sometimes you men who are struggling to find something that could be said before we eat the Lord's Supper together, and you don't want to just always go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, what better place would there be to go than to look at this psalm? Not all of the verses in it, but to read it as the Lord talks about the multitudes are there and their mouth is gaped wide open as they look at me. Of course, we ask about the shepherd psalm. You know that one. And that's Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." What is that psalm that exalts the Word of God more than 170 times in one psalm? Well, I hope you were listening when we talked about the longest psalm having 176 verses. And more than 170 times the Word of God is honored. In this day and age in which people mock the Word of God, here is a psalm that we ought to meditate on, and it'll make you become a student of the Word. We have another psalm, and it's higher up in the study, but I really believe that every person needs to know where this psalm is, particularly in view of the matter of abortion, because that topic is going to come up again and again. And there is that psalm that talks about the fact that God is omniscient, that He knows everything, that He's omnipresent, and that is that He is everywhere, and that He is omnipotent, that He has all of this power. The Omni-Psalm. Psalm 139. David says, or whoever the author of the psalm is, and by the way, the heading to this psalm says it is a psalm of David. Nobody knows for sure where these headings came from. They're just very anciently old. And so he says in verse 7, "Where can I flee from thy presence? Where can I go? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand leads me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say the darkness will cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness of the light are both alike. That's that psalm that talks about that about the fact that God is everywhere. You want to see abortion refuted? Look in Psalms 139, verse 13, that said, "You form me, you form my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." Who was in the womb? David. And David said that God's care was given to David, not to just a mass of flesh, but David said, "When I am within the womb, you covered me." In verse 14, he says, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Verse 15 says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." And now he goes back evidently to the time that he was in the womb. "Skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." David, when did God know about you? Before I ever existed on this earth. You need to know where Psalms 139 is, especially in view of how often this matter is discussed. What is that psalm that says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly"? What is that psalm that said, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water"? What is that psalm that says, "And on his law does he meditate day and night"? That'd be a psalm I think everyone would want to know. It's the beginning of the psalms. Wouldn't it be just like God to make the first psalm a psalm that sets the tone for the entirety of the book? We'll have some other questions about Psalms 1, and we'll be covering some of that. What about the psalm where David repented? The psalm of David and Bathsheba. Where is that psalm found? Oh, that's Psalms 51. And if you ever do wrong in your life, you need to know Psalms 51. What about the psalm that says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth"? You want to know where that one is? That's in Psalms 8. What about the psalm that talks about the family? The family that says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain who build it." Think about that in reference to a home. "Except the Lord build the home, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." Verse 3 says, and this is why we call this the family psalm, "Children are the heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a mighty hunter, so are children of the youth." If I had a young child and the one not so young, I'd want this psalm written on my heart. I'd want every day to understand that I've got an arrow called my son or called my daughter, or now as we're older, call my grandson or my granddaughter, and I've got the arrow in my hands. And it's up to me to point them in the right direction. Like arrows are in the hands of a mighty warrior, so are the children of the youth. You got your Bible open? Look at Psalms 138. Psalms 136. Psalm 136. You see any similarity between what's stated in verse 1 and verse 2? You read silent in your own mind, read what's in verse 1 and then read what's in verse 2. Oh, I see it. His mercy endures forever. Wait a minute, is that in verse 3? For His mercy endures forever. Is that in verse 4? Oh, yeah. His mercy endures forever. What about verse 5? Oh yeah, His mercy endures forever. What about in verse 6? Oh yes, His mercy endures forever. And you keep going through all of this and you get to verse 26 and you say, what about verse 26? For His mercy endures forever. You think that'd be something you could meditate on? To read this psalm that looks throughout all of a person's life and all that's happened and see the mercy of God in relationship to that. Psalms 136. And then there are three, and there are more than three, but there are three historical psalms that we're asking. I believe this may be on the King card. You ought to know that they are those psalms that all they do is take Jewish history and retell in poetical form either the work of God in creation or the manifestation of God in various ways, but especially from the time of Abraham or the time of Moses, to just take and put in poetical form the entire history of God and His dealings with those nations. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms will change your life. You believe it? Look back, Bill, we could go to slide number 4. Do you believe the book of Psalms will change your life? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What about as the deer pants for the water brook? Have you written this on your heart? So my soul pants for You, O God. What about I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. What about the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. What about let everything that has breath praise the Lord? That lesson this morning was designed to get us thinking that way whenever we head for worship next Sunday. You want worship to be meaningful? Then get yourself ready. Don't just come in here and talk about everything imaginable and wait about 3 or 4 songs and all of a sudden, well, I'm thinking, I've almost had a spiritual thought right now. But start pushing those worldly things out of your mind. And then when you arrive at the house of God, let these words be on your heart. When you go to the house of God, Ecclesiastes 5 says, draw near to Me. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You want to be more spiritually minded? I'm serious. You want to be on a plateau that your peers are not on, not in some matter of arrogance, but you want to be a better person? Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of the sinner, sits in the seat of the scornful. Listen to this. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law does he meditate all the day. Now, I don't mean for you to become some religious freak that runs around like a holy Joe, you know, a Bible banger. I'm just talking about somebody who wants to be a better person and to find those psalms and write them on your souls. And when these words become your words, you'll be changed. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You write that on your soul, and the next time you assemble with the saints of God to sing, it'll change the devotion that you have in the songs that you sing. And that's really what we're trying to do, is to help each one of us grow to be more spiritual and spend time by using verses that are the words of a man after God's own heart, by using these words and writing these words on our own hearts. We now come to that part of our service where we sing the invitation song to allow individuals to think soberly about their relationship to God and to provide an opportunity for them to become children of God. But it'll never happen unless you are a believer in God, unless you make up your mind. And that decision is called repentance. I'm going to turn away from wrong and turn toward righteousness. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, like Romans 10:9 says, then you can be baptized into Christ, a child of God, added to His kingdom in the family of God. And then He says, you be full of faith until you die. How do I get full of faith? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And we'll meditate on the law of the Lord, our faith will be greater. If we can help you in your walk with the Lord in any way, won't you let it be known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing. Will you come?